While Bob was singing, I thought of Psalm 139, verses 8 and 10, because that song magnifies the omnipresence of God. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And certainly the Bible teaches not only the omnipotence, that is, all-powerful God, it teaches the omniscience, the all-knowing God, and it teaches the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere. Turn in your Bibles to the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs. The 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Listen carefully to these words that fall from the lips of the wise man, Solomon. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, or fills her with grief. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Notice three things about verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. That's the proverbial identification. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. And notice the second thing, the appalling contrast. But he that sleepeth in harvest. Here's one gathering in harvest. Here's one sleeping in harvest. And notice the promised outcome. Causeth shame. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The proverbial identification, he that gathereth in the summer, and certainly he has reference to saved people, for only saved people can scripturally sow the seed, can scripturally plant the seed, can scripturally have a part in the harvest of souls. Paul had to tell the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, when they became preacher religionists and began to follow certain preachers at the expense of others, and he said, I have planted and Apollos watered, and who will finish it for me? But God gave the increase. Then in verse 7, he said, so then neither he that planteth is anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So the wise son, of course, is a child of God who is gathering during the harvest. We notice that the summer is representative of the dispensation of grace. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. And the dispensation of grace has been going on almost 2,000 years. And as I preached recently, I believe that it is rapidly coming to a close. And we ought to recognize that the summer will soon be gone. The harvest will be past. And some, as in Jeremiah's day, will cry as they did in verses 20 of the 8th chapter, and we are not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We notice something else about this proverbial identification, and that is the descriptive adjective that's used of he that gathereth in summer. It says, a wise son gathereth in summer. I believe the book of Daniel will add light to this. In Daniel 12 and 3, the prophet said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Proverbs 11 and 30 says emphatically, he that winneth souls is wise. And James 5 and 20 says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall save him from a multitude of sins, or cover, if you please, a multitude of sins. So the proverbial identification is a saved person that is witnessing and sowing in the dispensation of grace, the age that we're living in, and because of the labor he's involved in, the winning of souls to Jesus, he is called a wise son. Notice the appalling contrast. But he that sleepeth in harvest, he that sleepeth in harvest, is a son that causeth shame. Now, to sleep during harvest time suggests, first of all, a lack of vision. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And you ought to recognize, and I ought to recognize, that you and I, as Christian people, live in one of the greatest times we could possibly live, in order to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need a vision that we will not be sons or daughters that sleep in harvest, but will be out with a vision of the souls of men. The sleep in harvest also reveals a lack of personal responsibility. If every person took his or her responsibility as a church member as he or she ought to, and looked at it from a personal standpoint, I'm sure that there would be an improvement in Baptist churches throughout our land. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that they might be partakers thereof with you. So to sleep in harvest is to suggest a lack of personal responsibility as well as an absence of a vision for souls. To sleep in harvest suggests also that there will be waste. I remember when it came time when I was on the farm to pick the cotton or to gather the peaches or whatever it was, when harvest time came, we worked from can to can, from before daylight till after dark, because my father had worked all year and making the crop, and it was essential for our living. It was essential to the livelihood of his family, and none in the family slept during harvest. In other words, we were all expected to do our share. And to sleep in harvest suggests waste. Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And I don't know if you know it or not, but in our service this morning, there very easily could have been a minimum of 10 people reached either for salvation or for church membership that sat in our midst this morning. And in this service tonight, it is certainly not devoid of potentiality and possibility so far as harvest is concerned, because there are those before me even in this service that have not yet openly confessed the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now notice he's a son also. One son is a working son. The other son is a lazy son. One son is gathering in harvest. The other son is sleeping in harvest. And in the opening verses that I read, it said that a foolish man was one that brought heaviness to his mother or grief to his mother, and that a wise son made his father glad. And I'm sure that in this particular verse of Scripture, the father would have been proud of the working son in the harvest. The father would have been ashamed of the sleeping son in harvest. The mother would have been possessed with heaviness or grief because of a son who did not share his part of the responsibility. So to sleep in harvest represents a lost testimony. In the book of Psalms 107, verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you and I should not be ashamed to let the whole world know that we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his word, and for his cause. But there is a possibility that every one of us in this church building, if we neglect our responsibilities, could lose our testimony. Let me give you an illustration. There was a man by the name of Lot who was the nephew of Abraham. And when there arose a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's flock and the herdsmen of Lot's flock, they had to separate. And Abraham told him to choose what he wanted, and he would take the other. And Lot lifted up his eyes and looked on the well-watered plain around Sodom. And that's the direction he headed, and pretty soon he was mayor of the city. Pretty soon he was prominent in politics. Pretty soon he was an outstanding citizen in this godless town. In fact, the Bible says that the righteous conversation, or the filthy conversation, of the people of Sodom vexed the righteous soul of Lot. So here's a man who's a Christian. Here's a man who cannot stand to hear these Sodomites with a filthy mouth. And yet at the same time, he has not taken a stand for the Lord. And judgment is about to fall upon this city as it has never fallen before. And when God warns them to get out, listen to me now, don't lose my point. He that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. And when it came time for them to get out, he told his son-in-law, and his sons-in-law laughed at him, for the Bible says that Lot seemed to be as one that mocked. His wife turned back, or looked back, and turned to a pillar of salt. And here's a perfect example of a man sleeping in harvest and losing his testimony. And the shame that it causes is that of a satanic victory. The devil is real to me. He's just as real a personality as the Lord is real. And you can mark it down tonight. The devil is getting many, many victories over the young and the old in our own city. And as never before, I believe you and I as Christian people ought to do everything we can to fight the devil. Last Wednesday evening when I left this church building on the way home, my car was stoned and pine-burred and biscuited. And when I turned around and stopped, about 15 or 20 teenagers continued to throw pine burrs at me and to curse me with language that I'd never heard. And they thought they were having fun. And they thought that they were really doing what they ought to do as teenagers, letting it all hang out. But as angered as I was from a fleshly standpoint, there was sympathy in my heart for their souls, and I wondered what their parents were doing, how many of their parents knew where they were at the time, and I wondered how many of these same young people would be somewhere in church this Sunday listening to the gospel. Don't you tell me for a minute that the devil doesn't have a stranglehold on this town. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And finally, the sun that sleeps in harvest not only causes shame and reveals a satanic victory, but he faces the reality of this horrible thing happening. Now, this morning, I alluded to the judgment seat of Christ. And I know one day that you and I are going to stand there and you and I are going to be rewarded. At the judgment seat of Christ, there will be 5 different crowns that will be given out. But the son that has slept in harvest will not be rewarded. The son that has gathered in summer will be rewarded. And when we receive those crowns and we stand rewarded from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he says, well done, thou faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Then you and I who have gathered in summer, you and I who have stood for the Lord, will cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus and thank him that we had the opportunity to work while it is day, because the night surely is coming when no man can work. He that gathereth in harvest is a wise son, and summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Let's sing, Brother Bob.
Number 256.
Number 256.